Call the meeting to order. Start with roll call.
Counselor Morley Hoskam.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Counselor Debbie Zula.
Counselor Mike Heckinen.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
And Mayor David Warren. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in general nature thereof? Hearing none, we'll adopt the agenda. And resolution 23-57, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the agenda as presented. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. There's no closed session. We have respect and acknowledgement declaration. I'd like to begin by acknowledging that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Now, this meeting has been called primarily for the public meeting for two rezoning applications. So we have resolution 23-58, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby move into a public meeting at
1:02
p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We'll call the public meeting to order. I've already been through the roll call for council and staff. Again, I'll ask for this particular session, are there any disclosures of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. For the meeting protocol, I'll be taking a roll call of the guests and visitors who are in attendance to start with, and then all comments be addressed through the chair. And I'll just ask if those present, if you wish to announce just your name, that'd be good. Thank you.
Ted Davidson.
Thank you.
Michael Corson.
Reggie Moore.
The first application is Reed. And we have pursuant to Section 34 of the Planning Act, the zoning bylaw amendment is being sought for the Waterfront Residential 2, WF2 zone, to a special provision zone to permit the construction of a detached garage on the subject lands where no main building has been constructed, and to recognize the reduced lot area and frontage and the proposed garage is siting within the rear yard. The applicant owns and occupies a seasonal residence on an island 60 meters from the shoreline of the subject lands. I'd ask the clerk, first of all, if any letters or related correspondence have been received.
Correspondence from Reg Moore and Ted Davidson have been received.
Okay, and I think we can forego the nature thereof and having you summarize since they're in attendance, and I'm sure they'll be speaking to them. Their comments later. Is the applicant available? Does the applicant wish to speak to this application?
No, the applicant is not present.
Okay, any questions or comments? We'll start with council and then we'll open it up to the public. Hearing none, I guess we'll turn it over to the public. Mr. Moore, do you want to come up to the microphone?
So again, same as the December 20th meeting, I'd like to say that either for or against this application. I'd also like to state this time for all applications following provincial statute and township documents, planning documents, and I'm against them not. So further from to my questions from the December 20th, 23 public meeting, I was asked to put my questions in writing so the planners could prepare a response for this meeting. I emailed my questions to the deputy clerk and all council members on December 22nd, 2023. On January the 12th, 2023, I received an email from the deputy clerk with the planner J.L. Richards' responses. And I'll some of the questions that I had asked were answered satisfactorily, so I wouldn't address them. To me, they were anyway. So the one question I asked was the applicability of his reference to Section 5821 of the McKellar Township Official Plan in their planning report that was dated October 27, 2022, and if Section 5822 might not be more appropriate. Their response was that the application conformed to both sections. I would like to say with certainty that Section 5821 of the official plan does not apply to this property. Island View Drive is a township-owned road that is plowed during the winter by a contractor that is paid by the township. But the road has not been assumed for maintenance by the municipality. Can you read my name? And therefore does not comply with the policy in Section 5821 of the OP that states all new development must front upon a year-round publicly maintained road subject to the exemptions listed below. Are the planners online? Are they here?
Yes.
So he's listening?
Yes.
Okay. I questioned the conflict in the frontage measurements for this property, and the planner responded that the owner, Mr. Reed, provided a survey of the property dated March 16, 2022, prepared by Holding James Van Veen Incorporated, an Ontario land surveyor. This survey shows that the frontage of the property along Manitowoc Lake is 2.10 meters. And that this frontage should be accepted as the true frontage that was derived at by recent survey of the property and by an Ontario land surveyor. I again reviewed the above plan as submitted and reveals that there is a note on the legend that states, caution, this is not a plan of survey and shall not be used except for the purpose indicated in the title block, which says site plan. Number 1, Island View Drive, Lot 32, Registered Plan, M132. So obviously, M132 is the registered plan. It would seem that the surveyor believes that this is not a survey, so it is my opinion that until it is a registered survey, that Plan M42 applies, and the frontage on this lot must be used from Plan 142 must be used for the zoning amendment, which is 57 feet. The next question, I question the lack of any reference to the existing docking facility in the application, site plan, planning reports, etc. And the planner's response was that it was not relevant to the application. I disagree in that it does exist. It's defined in Section 203 and 245 of Bylaw 9512 as amended, and is an accessory use in Section 303C of Bylaw 9512. If the dock was not included in the site plan for this property because it is not located on the frontage of this property, then the township should address this, its location, and proceed legally by other means. Thank you.
Okay, maybe what we can do with each comment, they made, is the planner available to
David or Rebecca, help? Did you want to comment?
Sure, I can comment. So first off, Section 5821 of the OP requires that all new development must front on a year-round publicly maintained road, but this section doesn't refer to any requirement that the road be assumed by the township. So I would assume that the application does conform with this section. As to the discrepancy between the frontage on the site plan and that of the registered plan of subdivision, we did receive a response from the surveyor who conducted or who prepared the site plan in question. And he provided us with a sketch of how he came up with that frontage. And essentially the discrepancy is a result of the shoreline receding from the water's edge as it was measured in January 2023, and the shoreline where it would have been when the plan of subdivision was prepared. So that discrepancy is a matter of the shoreline changing in that time. And then the last question that you had posed about the docking facility. It wasn't located on the site plan, so it wasn't subject to any review by us. So I would ask that the applicant speak to that further. I don't have anything to add on that, unless you do, Dave.
Sorry, it's taking me a long time to figure out where the mute and unmute button is. You'd think after 2 years of COVID, I'd have figured that out. No, I think Rebecca covered that off fairly, very well. We continue to recommend that the application be approved as presented.
Any responses, Dor?
No.
I want.
Sounds like it's a waste of time.
I have one question for the planner. Since they referenced 5821, it does say publicly maintained. And as mentioned, it's an unassumed road. In our road policy, it's not maintained, certainly not through the summer. It does have winter maintenance through a contract, as mentioned, but it's not publicly maintained for most of the year. So I'm not sure if that section does apply to 5821.
I'm just wondering if it is.
Sorry, I'm just reading the plan in front of me here. I'm just trying to find you the. So yeah, so 5821 lists the exceptions which would permit development. In the instances where development could occur that's not on a year-round publicly maintained road, and in this case, a limited number of lots used for seasonal residential dwellings can be used on an existing private road or on a assumed road. In this case, it's a lot that's associated with a seasonal residential dwelling and can only be used for a seasonal purpose. To the best of our knowledge, nobody's living year-round on the island property. So it'd be our opinion that this application conforms with that policy of the official plan.
So you're agreeing with 5822 as opposed to 5821?
I would say it, for all intents and purposes, the subject lands is used in conjunction with the seasonal residential dwelling lot. So we're looking at this application under section 5.8.2.2.
Thank you. Councillor Housman.
Oh, I was just wondering if it was a stumbling block whether the process would be for the township to go ahead and assume that road, so that wouldn't be a stumbling block. But if it's not a stumbling block, well, we won't go that route.
That's going to take a few meetings from now.
I can't see how it would impact council's intent either way, whether it would wish us to assume the road or not.
I'd just ask Mr. Moore as well, if the dock in particular doesn't show up and is not part of the application, if it may be on township property, I'm not sure you mentioned other means, legal means. Do you have anything in mind there? Should the township survey Island View Drive and determine if the dock is on township property?
This owner and previous owners have used a dock on the mainland to access the island. That dock shows up on the West Prairie Sound Geography Network as being on township property on Island View Drive. So I would agree it's probably not part of the site plan, but it still is an accessory use that is used to access the island, and it's accessory to something. Whether it's on the mainland property or the island property, it should be on the mainland property, I would say. And now would be the time for them to address it and legalize it. Otherwise, the township's going to have to move ahead with legal route by having it removed from township property.
I'm not sure if they have a response to that one. So.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, issues here are good questions that would be most appropriately addressed to the planning board at the next time when they, this one wasn't created for a new lot. But the comment still stands. We can't have zoning with conditions, but we can request more information if council wishes to work with the applicant to rectify the issue of the dock. But in our view, it's not really an issue that's directly related to the application, which is intended to permit the construction of the accessory garage. So my suggestion would be just to consider that there are risks if we delay the application more, because then you'll begin to run up against the statutory appeal period under which an appeal can be made for a non-decision fairly soon. So just wanted council to keep that in mind.
You mentioned talking to the applicant within a week's time. We're considering the bylaw on the 24th, so what could you do in a week's time talking to the applicant to maybe clarify this? You talk about the risk of dates. We're talking about a risk liability to the township for a dock that hasn't been approved if it is on township property, so that's a major concern to us. And you're saying you could deal with that within a week's time and get something back to us?
We could definitely share council's concerns with the applicant and see if they have a proposed way of alleviating those concerns. I'm not an expert in risk, so it would be definitely a question for their solicitor to work on with you if there is concerns from a risk management perspective regarding the dock.
Okay, thank you.
So I guess I will ask one question. Whenever it comes to the survey, they're requesting the township pass a bylaw that has a, so the lot has a frontage of 20.1 meters. I regardless of what the planner says, I still see no proof that frontage is there. The only registered plan for that property is plan M142 that shows 57 feet of frontage, 17.324 meters, I believe it is. So it is no documentation. Mr. Wellwood says that he received documentation from the owner or the surveyor, which I think is kind of one and the same, that verifies that is the right frontage, 20.10 meters. I've never seen that. Has anybody on council ever seen that in writing? And if it is in writing, why hasn't it been presented to the council before this?
Perhaps the planner could respond if there is something in writing to that effect.
Sure. We received correspondence earlier this week from the applicant, Thomas Reed, and I did forward that correspondence to Carly Britton for your reference as well.
I have it here for you.
So we'll be seeing that later. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else from the public wish to speak to this application? You just state your name so that those on telecom.
Michael Corson.
Thank you.
And let me apologize in advance. I'm hearing impaired, so I may not hear everything that you said. I own the properties right across from the properties in question here. I'm also a member of the Longhorn Conservation Association, and our land abuts the properties in question.
Okay, this is the Reed application on Island View. Is this the one that you're referring to, or?
Again, I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Are you referring to the Reed application on Island View?
This is what I received in the mail, which shows these properties.
Yeah, that's the next application.
This is the one coming after this. Oh. LeBlanc.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Then I'll sit down.
We'll wait your response for that one. Anyone else wish to speak to this one?
Mr. Mayor and the members of council, I'm not opposed to this use of this property.
Just for the planners, it's...
Oh, it's Ted Davis.
Thank you.
The one issue I do have is doing it properly and having the proper bylaw passed. We know that the zoning bylaw defines an accessory building, and it has to be on the same lot as the main principal use. This is not. I did in some correspondence to members of council indicate that maybe perhaps a way of dealing with the accessory building issue is to redefine storage building, which is a permitted use in the WF zones, and to allow a storage building, even including the parking of private vehicles, a certain size on this property, rather than define it as an accessory building. The way of other way of dealing with it as an accessory building would be to define lot Lot 32 of plan M142, and include in that definition lots 76 and 77. So in other words, you would have three lots comprising one lot. And in that way, you could have the accessory use on the mainland for the island property. I believe the Reeds own, if I'm not mistaken, both parts, 76 and 77. The other issue is the size of the mainland property does not meet the requirements of the accessory, of the minimum lot requirements in the bylaw. There is a section, I think it's 3.21, which indicates that you can't get a building permit unless the lot meets a certain size. Now, this is in a registered plan of subdivision, but the section goes on to say it must be a minimum of 1,800 square meters, which this isn't, and it must have a minimum lot frontage of 30 meters, which this does not have. So it's also an exception to that section. The other thing with respect to the survey is, I have a concern about whether the 57 feet is correct or not. But the zoning bylaw specifically says that the lot frontage on a waterfront lot is measured from the high water mark. And the high water mark is defined in the zoning bylaw as, I think it's 242 CGD. So regardless of whether the water recedes or not, it's taken from that one constant measurement. So the surveyor should be able to tell us, okay, what is the measurement along that high water mark for this lot 32? Otherwise, you may be giving away 3 meters of township property to this owner without having it verified. The way of dealing with the dock on the township lands would be an encroachment agreement, number one, which would legally protect the municipality if that's what the municipality wanted. But it appears that if there's enough frontage on the lot itself, just to move the dock, I put it on the lot. So those, I think, cover most of the comments that I had in my to mayor. But I think this is a reasonable use of the property. And I would like to see the bylaw have a schedule which refers to that survey rather than the schedule that's attached, because the one thing with a zoning bylaw is you have to make measurements from a survey. And the schedule that's attached to the draft bylaw, you can't scale it at all, to be honest with you. And if we look at the previous one that was done, I believe, for the LeBlanc plans, I think I attached the bylaw that was approved for it, you will see that there's actual surveys. And in that case, which we'll deal with later, there was a deeming bylaw to make sure that the plan of subdivision was not a plan of subdivision. So those are my comments with respect to Reed. I think it's a good proposal, but I think there should be some things taken into consideration. The prime one being the lot frontage, measured at 242 as a high water mark, and the other one being the use of the property as an accessory building, which it could be determined, just for the purposes of this section, be defined as a storage building. And it could include vehicles similar to the to the wording of a private garage. And then you would also have the specific dimensions, which I think are dimensioned on the site plan for that storage building and carport, I believe. Okay?
Great. I hope the planner heard all that and then maybe some responses to the various points that were made.
The other thing, Mr. Member of the Council, is in order to rectify all these things, you may in a way want to consider a holding bylaw on this, contingent upon a survey being provided. But I'll leave that up to you.
Okay, thank you.
So on the first matter, whether the proposed use should be considered as a garage or as a storage building, the applicant is requesting to amend the zoning bylaws to permit the establishment of the private garage as an accessory use where no principal use has been established on that parcel of land, and has proposed also to amend the zoning bylaw for this property to recognize the undersized nature of the lot and the reduced lot frontage, as it doesn't currently comply with the zone requirements of that zone. So I think those two matters are captured well in the application to amend the zoning bylaw. As to the difference in frontage, I think we have responded on that matter to Mr. Moore in our earlier comments, but the discrepancy in frontage does appear to be a matter of the shoreline changing between the time that the M plan was established and when the survey was completed in 2022. As for the docking facilities, I think that that's a conversation that needs to happen with the applicant, and I don't have anything to add further to that discussion.
With the comment about the shoreline changing, does the high water mark change over time?
That seems to be the case for Lake Manitowabin.
Interesting. Okay, I'm just trying to clarify here. I don't know if somebody has to speak to that.
One of the things that you could do in an abundance of caution is to refer to both the lot size and information set out in the M plan, as well as the lot size and frontage set out on the survey. I don't think that's necessary from a planning perspective. We support the bylaw as recommended, but that is something, if council is concerned, that we could add into the draft bylaw.
And we had a reference from the public too, I mean, just for clarification for council, of a holding zone to ensure that the survey is complete. What are your thoughts as planners on the each being applied to the property?
My opinion would be that that's an unnecessary hurdle to place for the applicants. The issue of lot frontage and lot area can be adequately addressed without the use of a holding bylaw. Because if you use a holding bylaw, essentially they would have to come back and pay another zone change fee to come and have the holding removed in order to permit them construct the garage. I don't think we need to go that route.
Okay, thank you. Any follow-up from the public? No comments from the planner?
Okay. Reg Moore? I'm not sure Mr. Wellwood understands that Manitowabin Lake is a flooded lake and the high water mark is controlled by the dam in Hurdville. So the only way the high water mark that's defined in the zoning bylaw can change is if there was a flood, I guess, and it overflowed the dam. The high water mark does not change. It's always there. It doesn't matter if the water's low or high. The high water mark is always the same.
Okay, thank you. Any comments from council from what you've heard so far? Now we're collecting information, that's what we're doing, and then looking at the proposed bylaw. One was already put together as a sample a draft, and whether that be amended or not, that's will have to be decided for our regular meeting on the 24th. But in the meantime, it sounds like the planners have some work to do too, and to get information back to us. Maybe you could just again summarize from the planning point of view what you've been doing in the next week to look at the draft bylaw and also talk to the applicant about the dock.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. I can definitely add some text into the draft bylaw to refer to the M plan and the original lot areas on that. I would recommend not eliminating the lot areas that are proposed on the plan survey, since that is prepared by an Ontario land surveyor. There's no reason we shouldn't go with that document, but we're happy to add both figures on. The as for the dock, I'm not 100% sure I fully, I think I would request that Carly send us just a brief description of exactly what council would like to see the applicant address. We'd be happy to facilitate that conversation with the applicant.
Okay, that sounds good. Yes?
Can I just wall with one more question?
Just your name again, so that...
Reg Moore. So you've said again, and I've heard you say it many times, this is a plan survey. Why did the surveyor who did the site plan put a caution note on it saying it was not a plan of survey, it was for the use that is named in the title block, site plan, nothing else?
Through the mayor in response, my suggestion would be that that's typically the information that we would rely on as planners in an application. We don't typically second guess a survey prepared by a licensed surveyor. That said, as I mentioned before, we are happy to update the draft zoning bylaw amendment to make reference to the end plan.
The M plan, is that?
So he's not referencing the plan of survey at all, just the M plan?
The M plan, yes.
Okay.
I don't know if that's addressed all of the public's concerns or not, so you can certainly.
Maybe just to assist David. I did a quick calculation. I mean, the M plan has frontages and, along the side lot line, everything.
This is Ted Davidson again.
Yeah, that's right. For example, the frontage along Lakeshore Road, where it takes this L shape here, is 114.07. Now, I matched that against the survey that was provided, and it's exactly the same, 114.07. The only thing that changes on the survey is the frontage by 3 meters, which I don't know where it came from. Because it may be that he wants to include the dock that's located on township property in his lot. Who knows? But I would have it confirmed.
Okay.
And I would also include that survey as the schedule to the draft bylaw, similar to what's been done in every other special exception.
Okay, thank you. Comments, council on this one?
That would be no problem. I mean, we're happy to add an extra schedule showing the M plan. I should mention that the M plan wasn't provided to us, so we would request that a scan of the M plan be forwarded us to, so that we can include it in the draft bylaw.
Yeah, I believe Carly said. Did you send my comments, Carla?
Yes.
Includes the amplifier?
It was in your attachment?
Yep.
Okay, my apologies. We will we'll have a second look and make sure that it's included as an appendix.
Okay, thank you. Last call for comments. move on to the second application, LeBlanc. We have pursuant to Section 34 of the Planning Act, a zoning bylaw amendment is being sought to rezone two parcels of land to fulfill the condition of consent application B33/2022. The subject lands are two lots provisionally approved by the Township of McKellar through consent application B33/2022. The consent application severed lands from 9 Charles Avenue to add to a neighboring parcel of land on Charles Avenue. Following the lot addition, the benefiting lands have an area of 0.37 hectare or 3,695.7 square meters and frontage of 77.5 meters. The retained lands have an area of 0.29 hectare or 2,859.6 square meters and frontage of 60.5 meters. And I'll ask the clerk if any letters or related correspondence have been received.
Emails have been received from Reg Moore and Ted Davidson.
Again, rather than relate the content of those, we have both people here, so maybe if they'd like to speak to that. That's assuming that council has no comments at the start. Maybe you want to wait for the public. It's up to you. Okay, over to the public.
I don't hear what you're saying. Debbie sits fairly close. Maybe she can interpret for me.
She's used to it.
Basically, as I mentioned, I live across...
Would you get your name again for the planner? So that...
Your name again.
Michael Corson.
Okay.
37 Lizzie's Lane. So I live across from the areas that are shown here. There's three colors here. My first question is, were the other members of the Longhorn Association advised about this meeting? Because we own land right here.
I'd have to ask the clerk if everybody was notified.
Notices were sent within 120 meter radius?
Yeah, it was 31 families, I believe.
I can send you a copy of who received.
She'll send you a copy of who received them.
Okay, the notices. That's fine. All right. I'm sorry that I missed the December meeting. I was in Ottawa at the time. But my question, first of all, there's three colors shown here, blue, orange, and yellow. There are, I'm not sure which of the areas are in question here. The primarily one I'm worried about is the one that backs onto Lee's Creek, which is right across from my property, and abuts the Longhorn Conservation Association, as do the other two. It looks to me like the lands in question are in the blue and the orange. First of all, I'd like confirmation of that, please.
I can speak to that. So the lands in blue are the lands that are to be retained after the severance is completed. Okay, the lands in orange are the lands that are to be added to the lands in yellow. So essentially, once the severance is completed, the lands in yellow and orange will become one property, and the lands in blue will become another property. And these lots have already been draft approved by the planning board. As a condition of that consent application, it was a requirement that they submit a zoning bylaw amendment, which is the application that we are reviewing before us today.
Okay, I hate to ask you to repeat all of that in sections, but we have some hearing problems. I'm wondering, would you be able to hear better if you came closer to the speaker?
I think it's possible.
It's going to come here.
And maybe just take each color separately again so that he can hear.
Sure.
All right. So, Mike,
so,
what I'm interested in.
Okay, so she's gonna...
The zoning bylaw amendment that's before us today was a condition of the consent application that was approved in draft by the planning board. And so essentially, the lands in blue are the lands that are to be retained. So that will be one property. The lands in orange are to be severed from that property and added to the lands that are shown in yellow. So essentially, the yellow and orange will become one property.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Are they going to be building on that property? Because there's no access to the water.
There's no no buildings that are proposed as part of this application.
No buildings, she said.
No proposed buildings.
Well, so what's their purpose in doing that then?
The consent application would essentially adjust the lot line.
Okay. First of all, the road only goes up and to the one in the orange, not to the one in the yellow. That's number one. Number two, this is fish habitat on Lee's Creek. It's a cliff. There's no access to that water unless they want to build a large staircase. It doesn't make sense to me. And I would be against it. A, fish habitat. B, I don't think you can get to the water. Well, I guess if you're a diver, but it's only about 3 inches of water right there. Couldn't have a boat. Has anybody looked at that property?
Our review of the application is based on aerial imagery and topographic maps and the schedules that are within the official plan and zoning bylaw.
I can't speak to this particular one, but where people build has amazed me over the years, and subdivisions even got in and we didn't think it was ever possible. Mm. But I guess the question on this one, the benefiting lands as it sits now on its own, is that large enough to actually build on? Is that why they're adding the severed lands, to make it larger so that they can actually build something on it?
Yeah, there'd be no reason for them to do what they're doing if they weren't going to build on it. They'd have to extend the road, I guess. Maybe not, because it does go to the orange. If I see it correctly, I can't see it. Yeah.
It's here.
It ends. It ends there. Yeah.
No, it seems like it goes all the way.
It ends right here.
I think it actually goes all the way to here.
Just
to
the application for rezoning. I'm not sure if it says that on it or not.
It appears that there's a sort of crescent at the end of that road, that Charles Avenue. So there is access to the road on the benefiting lands, as well as the lands that are to be severed.
There's no road here, is there? There's Charles Avenue right there.
Yeah, it seems
this is all. That's that big house. He owns that property. There's a cabin there.
It seems like something goes here.
There is a road?
I'm not sure. I have to go take a look. But
that shows it. Right. Anyway, the road doesn't go to the yellow port portion that I can see.
It's not in scale. But
something you'd have to investigate, I guess.
Yeah.
You'd also, I don't understand why they want to do it.
If I may I speak on behalf of the applicant for the email? So Paula Blanc sent me this yesterday. He said, "Hi Carly, our goal in our submission is to take 4 legal building properties, of which 3 lots are zoned waterfront to no fault of our own, and to clean them up into 2 proper lots and properly show them as non-waterfront. 2 versus the current 4, 2 septics versus 4 septics. When building commences, all rules for septic and water will be fulfilled at the time applications are applied for. I trust the council will see this application as a positive. Thank you, Paul LeBlanc."
So once again, he's saying that there won't be any water run?
No.
They're talking about the interior lots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Make a long story short, I'm opposed to it.
And I'm thinking, too, for council's sake, as we discuss this, if we move along, something to the township would be useful in writing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I invite any of you who want to come on my property to take a look at it, by all means. 37 Lizzie's Lane.
Okay. David, yeah.
Thank you.
Somehow. The other thing is,
The Bill 23 has gotten rid of site plan control for all residential developments less than 10 units. So we have this residential, and we have to assume there's going to be a residence built on this property. That's the assumption you have to make. So, without the environmental reports with respect to fish habitat and deer yard, what setbacks are you going to apply? The setback from the water in the WF2 zone currently is 10 meters. The official plan says 15. The PPS says you should do a study with respect to site alteration adjacent to fish habitat to determine whether there should be a larger setback. And we'll see, for example, on the 154 Center Road application, there was a 30-meter setback for the middle river required. In fact, in some cases, I think it goes beyond the 30 meters. So that calls into question what's going to be able to be built on this property.
Whether the planners caught all of that?
I think I caught all of that. Thanks very much, Mr. Mayor. And thanks, I think it was Mr. Davidson, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, our apologies for not, and we did, Mr. Davidson's comments are correct. We didn't identify in our report the issue of a deer yard. There was some issue on our part with we misread the layer for the deer yards because the layer was right out into the lake. But the hatching is, it breaks off before this property. So it's, and second, looking at it a second time, we definitely concur that there's likely some deer habitat that should be examined. One of the considerations you can do, similar to something Mr. Davidson has suggested before, is a holding zone to request an evaluation of deer habitat. I said deer habitat, but not fish habitat. As I think you could count, get at the fish habitat question through a 30-meter setback provision to the water in the zoning bylaw for the entirety of the benefiting lot. So that's something you could have on the parcel without going through a holding bylaw. In terms of the deeming bylaw, we reached out to Municipal Affairs and Housing to find out who does deeming bylaws, the planning board or the township. Essentially, it's more of a legal question, and it would make sense for us to push this back to the proponents to ask for a legal opinion to confirm that they have indeed created lots that they will be able to register at the registry office. That's really the main thing here for the severed lot, whether or not it can be registered, and we can't answer that question. We did also talk to the planning board, and they indicated that they did not think the severed lot was part of a registered plan of subdivision. It appears that it is, but that is neither here nor there. A suggestion would be to ask the applicant to provide a legal opinion about whether the lots have been created appropriately. As an aside, we should have a separate discussion on the role of the township commenting on future severance applications at the township, so we can attempt to address these sorts of issues at the consent stage before they come to the township. That is a separate discussion, so I apologize for straying. I'll turn it back over to you, Council. Was there any further questions, perhaps through Mr. Davidson, that we didn't answer on this file?
Yeah, we'll put it back to them if they have any comments on the planner's comments.
I'm done commenting.
Is that satisfactory, though, what he's suggesting, that they do going forward?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, the consent requires a plan to be registered. So I don't understand why we can't have that registered plan as a schedule to the zoning law. And David, with respect to the 30-meter setback from fish habitat, I looked at the existing lot, I think it's only 35 meters in depth, and we're only adding another 15 or 16 meters. So the question is whether or not there's a buildable site location, building site location within that property that's left over. because we have a front yard setback, we have a side yard setback, and a rear yard setback. So we're going to get down to about 3 square meters of buildable space. That's the only concern I would have. And perhaps maybe it might not be, it may be of use to have it, at least a concept plan showing a buildable parcel. Not an actual one, but we know that there's going to be a detached dwelling built on this property at some point in time. The question is, where will it be located in the best location? And still, I think for waterfront properties, you have to have two locations for septic pits, if I'm not mistaken. You have to have a primary one, and you have to have a backup as well. Now, I know that tile beds are shrinking, et cetera, but one has to take into consideration as well. You'll have to be a drilled well on that one property.
But the holding bylaw would be perhaps a way to deal with the environmental issues by requiring it now. Because then, without site plan, you can't ask it. Once you pass this bylaw without that condition, you can't. There's nothing to allow you to ask for it in the future.
Greg Moore, I'd just like to speak to Mr. Wellwood's statement about having a discussion with council about having things such as deeming bylaws, including consent applications at the time of the consent application. And there need to be more attempt to have those things addressed with them. I'd like to add emphasis on the word attempt, because that's all it is with our local planning board. You make them aware of things and you don't get it done anyway.
Question or comment?
That's a comment.
Noted. Yes. I guess the question here too, because this was a while back, probably in December, we were talked about timelines when these applications had to be dealt with. I'm not sure on this particular one, the LOMP one. I think February 4th was mentioned. If a decision is made on the 24th regarding a holding or whatever else is decided, does a new timeline start at that point? Are you not you're not still bound? Because I can't imagine you would get everything accomplished by the 4th. As long as some action has been taken, then you've responded to the application. Is that enough? Or is something going to click in on the 4th of February saying that okay, you haven't met the deadline? Now you have to give back some of the deposit or the application fee. I think that's a new rule that's come in as well. So I'm not sure. I'm just asking for advice here.
That's a good question. I think when you pass a holding bylaw, that is making a decision. If you added a holding provision through your decision, the clock would essentially reset, or it would be finished. Like, you've made your decision. There's no need to... there wouldn't be a non-decision appeal. Of course, the applicant could always appeal because they don't like the decision to put a holding zone on the property. But I think we can work with the applicant to suggest why it's in their best interest to provide the additional information. They may even be willing to say, because I would point out also the refund part isn't in effect yet. It was supposed to be in effect January 1st, but the provincial government has pushed that back. So we could still have time for Celia after the 4th to work with them if they needed a little bit of additional time to do that study before council makes a final decision. It's really something we need to begin preparing for once those changes come into effect for the refunds, which my understanding would be in July 1st or June 1st. Remember the date cycle they use at the province. But for now, I think let's take the approach of working with the proponent to see if they can provide us with the additional information in a proposed building envelope. We also looked at the measurements on the Ministry of Natural Resources topographical map application. It seemed to be about 50 meters from the boundary between the severed lot and to the lake. So there's 20 meters they could play with to build a small cabin or something. I agree, it's a small. It would be a small building envelope. So there's a list of things that council would like to see from the applicant. We can definitely work through Carly to get that that ball rolling.
I just want to go with the timelines again. Like I said, we were talking about visiting this bylaw on the 24th, next week. And can you prepare things by that time so that we can work with the applicant, as you say, moving forward? But should we still be looking at a bylaw on the 24th?
Let's see how much information we can get prior to the 24th. I think it would be advisable to make a decision before the 4th, but if the applicant's amenable to waiting longer than that, I think that we can wait longer than that.
I think you would be in communication then with the applicant, meantime, and with Carly?
Yeah, I think we'll go through Carly. Carly and I can talk after the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Zulak.
I just have a question about the holding. Typically, how long is that on for?
The holding zone, through you, Mr. Mayor, would be on for as long as it takes to obtain the results of whatever the requirement is, in this case, a site assessment for environmental features to council satisfaction.
And is my understanding,
so whether that's a week or 2 weeks, and then they could come back and request it to be removed. They would have to file another application with the township to do that. And we would provide another report. Council has the option to remove the holding zone.
So you're saying it could be a couple of months at the most?
That seems reasonable.
Okay, because I know in the past we've had a holding put on and it was 3 years.
I would really hope that wouldn't be the case for a lot addition such as this.
Okay.
And with that removal of the H, that doesn't go public again, that's just done by council? There's no need for another public meeting when you're removing an H?
No, you would need to, it's a public process.
Okay. You have to give notice. Give notice, but my understanding was that in the past, unless that's changed.
You can't appeal it.
You can't appeal it, okay.
We can provide you with more information on the statutory differences between removal of the holding zone and your typical zoning bylaw amendment. We'll have to just do a little bit of digging in the act. My practice has always been that it's a public process.
Okay, thank you. Any else from the public?
Just one comment maybe helpful. I don't know what the LeBlanc's intentions are, but it may be that they want to create these two lots and then sell them. The holding conditions wouldn't fulfill the holding conditions, in other words. They would leave it to the new owner, whoever bought it, to fulfill those conditions and remove the H before they could build. Because I got the impression that LeBlanc's said, we're not going to do anything on these lands. We're not going to build anything, et cetera, et cetera. So it may be that they want to sever them and consolidate them to sell a bigger waterfront lot. And if you had an H condition on the Councillor Zulak, you may be 2 years before the new owner wants to proceed to put a building on it, and at that point in time would do that study. I don't think the LeBlancs would do it. But the LeBlancs would still have the holding bylaw, rezoning their property to the appropriate zone, save and accept, do the study, then we'll determine the setback of your building.
Okay, thank you.
If that's what they got, if that's their intention.
Any further comments? Okay. We have resolution 23-59, moved by Council. Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Keckinen. Be resolved the Corporation of Township McKellar is hereby reconvened in the regular session of Council at
2:05 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Now, as far as all of the other things on the mentioned by Councillor Haskin previously, none will apply at this particular meeting, so we'll move right through to number 24, the confirming bylaw.
We're going to accept the, okay. Oh, wait, we'll dismiss the planners as well. Do you want to dismiss the planners as well to finish up the meeting? Or?
Yeah, I guess we probably can leave them at this point.
Okay. Thanks for attending, Rebecca and David. I'm just going to log off.
No problem. Thanks very much. Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Received the zoning amendment application, planning report prepared by J.L. Richards, scope site evaluation report prepared by Riverstone Environmental Solutions, Inc., draft bylaw and related correspondence for the re-planning application. Discussion? All the question? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 23-61, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Keckinen. The result of the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar does hereby receive the zoning amendment application, planning report prepared by J.L. Richards, draft bylaw, and related correspondence for the LeBlanc planning application. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 23-62, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Keckinen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-10, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed at open Council the 17th day of January 2023. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 23-63, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Keckinen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourned this meeting at
2:08 p.m.
to meet again on January the 24th, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.